Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Innovative Wellness. Visit InnovativeWell.com.
Tuesday.
Attention. Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention?
Sage Rosenfels, the official Tuesday morning quarterback on the Dan Bernstein Show.
Nick Foles has been there and done it. He's won a Super Bowl. He's won playoff games. He's won a lot of big football games. He's played in a lot of games in his career. He is a much better down-the-field thrower.
Longtime football observer.
We grew up with a little 19-inch black and white. I don't even know if it was 19 inches. It might have been 12 inches or something. Black and white TV that had four channels. We basically watched the black and blue division. My dad's from Chicago. All we basically watched were Vikings, Packers, Bears, Packers.
12 years of NFL experience.
Rosenfels with the ball. The bootleg. Fake the pass. Dives for the end zone. And in for the touchdown. Sage Rosenfels, brilliant on that first drive.
Goat of the preseason.
It's a specialty.
Sage Rosenfels, breaking down every start by Bears quarterback Nick Foles with Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Would you rather lose pretty or win ugly? I think that we'd rather win ugly.
Well, that's an unfair binary. I'd rather win pretty, Nick. I know you're excited, and I know you think the team can get good, and you're pep-talking everybody, but let's figure this out, how they can get this a little bit prettier. Sage Rosenfels is on Twitter at SageRosenfels18. He's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. He's on our Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score, and he appears to be somewhere other than his Omaha estate. That looks a little bit more urban and perhaps hotel-y.
Yes, Austin, Texas is where I stayed last night. I'm here for the week, but I'm glad I was not in Carolina, though it was a nice Bears win. As an offensive quarterback, as a person that likes good offense, it was not that by Chicago. It hasn't been that much this year by the Chicago Bears, but as Nick said, good enough to win, definitely good enough to win. You know, I don't come on here to talk about the Bears defense. Sometimes I'd like to, because I did watch obviously that game and a lot this year. The best Bears defense, before we start talking about the offense, is very good. Like really good. A defense that when you're the starting quarterback and we play Chicago this week and you start watching film, you don't want to play against them. It's not fun. They are at almost, I don't know about record pace, but if you look at some of their statistics, they have more interceptions than touchdown passes given up. That doesn't happen very often. I think they might be the only team in the league that has that stat. They're hard to move the ball against. They're definitely hard to score against. And they are the number one reason why the Bears are 5-1 and leading the NFC North. The offense, on the other hand, it is a struggle from play to play, from drive to drive. They are making the plays, the most important plays at the right time, which is helping them get these wins. They're getting lucky sometimes with some balls that probably should be intercepted and turned over, but they're sort of scrapping it together to get enough to then also rely on that defense and play the complementary football. They're doing just enough to be a part of this 5-1 record.
I want to talk about the Nick Foles interception, because when I watched it again, I was mindful of something you've said in the past about quarterbacks, specifically both Kirk Cousins and sort of end of career Eli Manning, where you allow one problem to beget another problem and things tend to spiral out of control. That was the pass blocking on that play was almost non-existent. There's a still shot that's going around Twitter of five Bears linemen standing with four Carolina pass rushers, all quarterback side of them, all past them as the ball is leaving Foles' hand. And he makes an inexplicable throw. He called it a dumb throw. How does that breakdown up front turn into that pass?
Nick Foles plays quarterback with, like, somebody who talks just a full stream of consciousness, right? He just sort of lets it go and doesn't look at the downside a lot of times. And that is a very valuable asset to have at times, to sort of just let it loose and not overthink things and have sort of a clear stream of consciousness. But sometimes that gets him into trouble. And there was that interception. There was a what I would call a hole shot, which is when you have a receiver running down the middle of the field, but also receiver on the outside by the sideline, and you try to fit a ball in there between the safety who is deep and the corner who is playing in that sort of cover two corner spot. He tried to stick a ball into that location, and there was really no reason for it. Sometimes that throw was there. Other times it was not. This definitely, it was not there. So that ball really should have been intercepted as well. When you don't get protection, you tend to sort of throw balls to where they shouldn't go. It's just sort of a natural thing. It's really hard for a quarterback to sort of overcome that. They got to find ways to protect this quarterback. They got to find ways either to get the ball out quicker, whether it's play action more, where you have tight ends and running backs in there blocking as part of the protection. You have fewer guys out then, of course, and Jimmy Graham then is neutralized and the tight ends are neutralized, but they have to find a way to get this quarterback more protection, or else if they're just blocking five guys versus four or five rushers by the opposing team, they're going to be more interceptions, because he's going to, get nervous, but he's going to, throw balls up for grabs occasionally. And the more pressure a quarterback has, the more that just generally occurs.
And I guess that's fundamental to be being fair in the criticism of Nagy too, because if you can't block anything up, it's hard to trust anything. And there were those consecutive little cute zero routes to Anthony Miller that essentially function as a supplement to their run game. And to me, that said a lot. That said, I don't trust you to get push up front. We can't pick a butt to run over in this case. So I wonder how much of this, of the play calling and the desultory play calling, it just jumps from this to this, and maybe I'll try this, and maybe I'll try that, that there doesn't seem to be sequencing or identity. Maybe that's, it's him just crying out, help me. I don't trust anything to get blocked up well.
Well, they have an identity. It's not good.
It's not a good identity.
It's not like, it's not like identity that you want to have. They don't have much of a run game. I saw a little criticism on David Montgomery on Twitter yesterday, and I was a little bit beside myself. Is he Walter Payton? No, he is not Sweetness, okay? But he is a good back. He catches the ball in the backfield. He gets more yards after contact, and I think Bears fans do appreciate that. He gets hit at maybe 2 yards, and somehow power through to for a 4, 5, 6, 7 yard gain. He does that regularly. There's not a lot there. The Bears, let's start with the running game. For the most part, they run more inside zone than outside zone, which does rely on basically offensive line push. This is not super challenging for a defense to play against inside zone running teams as far as like gap responsibilities are concerned. They're just coming right at you. The outside zone is where you have to sort of run with the offensive line. And if somebody gets cut off, there's a big gash there as the offensive line sort of runs down the line and the fullback and the tight end and that whole thing. But they run a lot of inside zone, which basically relies on push, which basically relies on there's usually not going to be a lot there. Just sort of the way it goes. It's not conducive to big plays, if that makes sense. off of that, they don't do a lot of play action off that. Usually they have some luck when they do call it, but that it seems like it's about twice the game, maybe three times a game, where they actually call a play action that does look like one of their inside zone running plays. So you don't have much of a running game, and then you don't have much of a play action game because of that lack of running game, which then leaves you to throwing the football, straight drop back pass. And you can drop as many plays as you want. So, you know, as every quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator and quarterback, you spend a week and, you know, this is the coverage that they're in, and we got this matchup, we want to do this, and you have this passing game plan. But if you can't protect the quarterback, it doesn't matter what pass plays you have. It doesn't matter at all. You can drop all the beautiful things and try to get guys open, but if you have no protection, you will have no passing game. This Bears offense has no passing plays over 40 yards this year. I don't know if you know that. They're the only team in the NFL that has no passing plays over 40 yards. They cannot push the ball down the field. Is it the quarterback? Is it the receivers? Is the offensive line? Sure. It's the whole thing. It's the whole operation. And it actually just sort of blows me away that this team is 5-1 with this anemic of an offense. And again, it's, you know, I watch it every week. It's not fun to watch. I don't like getting into blaming coaches or blaming players. It is a group effort. All right. I don't think the coaches are getting it done. I don't think the players are getting it done. It is a group effort. But you know, as a former player, when you have really, really struggling offenses, from my history of 12 years in the National Football League, the offenses that struggled the most, in my opinion, were because of coaches than players. You know, some teams have better receivers and a better line, a better quarterback than others? Absolutely. But coaches can find ways to score points, to move the ball, to have a functioning quality offense, even with very average players. And I think the Bears have good players. I can't critique the offensive line that well, but I really do think the Bears have some weapons at all the spots you need. I think their quarterbacks, even Trubisky as well, are good enough to win football games and score points in the National Football League. So to me, I would lean it more on the coaching side as the issue with this offense, because it's been like this pretty much the whole time. Even when Nagy first got there and they made that run, and they had, you know, it's been the defense. The defense has carried the water for this football team. It just really has. And Nagy should be very thankful that he, you know, got signed to a team as the head coach where the defense was really good. Imagine if this defense wasn't good. This team would be 0-6 right now. But luckily the defense is good, and that offense just has to do enough at the right time to help be a part of this team that is winning football games.
So let's ask the question that's right in front of us now, the way you set that up. Near the end of the show yesterday, I read an email from an astute listener who made the Brian Billick comparison, where part of a high-flying offense known as an offensive mind takes a job and ends up winning a Super Bowl because of a kick-ass defense and an offense quarterback by Trent Dilfer that just could be good enough, could get out of the way to not hurt them.
To start that season, by the way. Tony Banks, then Trent Dilfer. But go
correct.
Ahead.
So the question is, from a strategic perspective, when does a coach swallow hard and say, I know we want to do this, and I know I try to solve the Rubik's Cube every time, and I know we look for big gainers, and I'm an offensive mind with my magical play sheet, but maybe less is more. And here we go with this phrase again, dare I use it, game manager, and try to let your defense and your punter and whatever you got to do, you know, it's a hard admission for a coach, a proud offensive coach to do that, but would the Bears be more likely to win a Super Bowl if they just said, we got to be honest about what this offense can and can't do?
Winning ugly is still winning. And in the National Football League, and really all sports, it really doesn't matter how pretty the wins are as long as they keep coming in, and that's what's going on. It's obvious they're relying on this defense, and that's going to be their cowbell of what they of how far they get this year. It's going to be because of their defense. Their offense does need to pick it up, though. I understand with Brian Billick and the Ravens and how they won the Super Bowl with that anemic offense. That was, what, 21 years ago, right? So that happens so rarely. Usually you have to have a nice balance of offense and defense to be successful. This style of offense, by the way, other than in Kansas City, where they have Pat Mahomes and probably the best weapons and maybe some of the best O-line play and coaching in the National Football League, huge aspect of an offense is O-line play, O-line coaching, that whole thing. Andy Reid's specialty. But Philadelphia, they won the Super Bowl with this similar type of offense. They are struggling too. Yep. This style is not having a ton of success around the league of the other sort of Andy Reid tree coaches right now. Not a lot of quality offense going on. So it would be nice if this team, this offense, started to carry more weight and not rely on the defense. It gets old for defense. I played on a Miami Dolphins team for 4 years down in Miami. We had Ricky Williams on offense, and we had Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor and Junior Seau and Sam Madison and Pat Surtain and Brock Marion, and we were loaded on defense. I think we had 8 Pro Bowlers 1 year. We won a lot of games, 17-13 or 13-7. It was ugly, and it was fine, and our defense is okay with it. But over the course of the year, all those three and out or all those one first down drives, those will add up and just wear down your defense physically, but also mentally. The mentally to have to go out there every single game and try to basically shut down the other team, and you know if you give up 17 points, you very well could lose. That is really, really hard to do, to convince yourself of that. You know, they had Ray Lewis in Baltimore, and Ray was one of those guys. They're not going to get a yard. Like, he convinced everybody. I think they liked the challenge that their offense stunk, and that we're going to go win it despite the offense. We don't really need an offense. We'll win it without an offense completely. Just don't turn the ball over and give up points that way. I mean, to have that mentality is hard to get to, but if the Bears are going to want to go deep in the playoffs this year and have a chance to win a Super Bowl, this defense is going to have to carry a lot of water.
Sage Rosenfels, safe travels. Look forward to talking next week.
Thank you very much.
Sage Rosenfels, the former NFLer, joins us every week to break everything down and some not so unpointed criticism at Bears coaches for the offensive ineptitude, but optimism considering how good this defense indeed may be. We've got some lineup changes all throughout the NFL. We've got guillotine leagues, chopping teams. We've got a waiver wire for you to figure out for your fantasy team. And we've got a new starting quarterback in Miami that's going to affect things as well. Paul Charchian talks about all of it next on the
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer.
That guy must really know what he's doing.
Chief Execution Officer at GuillotineLeagues.com.
He's appointing himself Judge, Jury, and Executioner.
He's not Judge, Judy, and Executioner.
He is.
Your guide through the waiver wire.
Hurry, hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Charge. Charge. With Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score.
He's on Twitter at Paul Charchian, and he's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, and he is on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. These are very strange times in which you live, Charch, having to track things for a 4 o'clock kickoff yesterday, followed by another game, and watching who's placed on COVID reserve lists. I guess fantasy players can know if they can get through this season, they can get through just about anything.
Yeah, you're right about that. And, you know, the fantasy players who are nimble are the ones who are doing well, Dan, and the ones that just sort of set their lineups and forget about it, they're getting crushed because it's just so many difficult situations right now. And, you know, and we've got a fascinating new development just in the past hour, which you've already alluded to. We've got a new starting quarterback for Miami, Tua Tagovailoa. That's going to be really fun to see. And you have to assume, Dan, because Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing great. You have to, you know, this is a team that's one game out of a playoff spot. They're one game out of the lead in their division. And to make this change tells me that Tua must be tearing up practice. I mean, they must love what they're seeing. Otherwise, they'd be playing to get into the playoffs with the quarterback they've got.
I'm also learning about some other defenses as I watch some of these games. And when I start looking at matchups, I'm thinking, if somebody's playing the Cowboys, you probably want them active no matter who they are. Is that a proper way of looking at it right now?
Well, pretty much, although it's Kyle Allen this week. So, Dan, I don't know if anybody counts, but you know, if you're in a jam, yeah, you really could throw a dart, and it's a bye week, right? So you could throw a dart at Kyle Allen if you needed to. Let's just review how bad this Dallas secondary has been. They've given up multiple touchdowns in four of the past five games, and they're averaging three touchdown passes against per game since the opener. So, and it's not like they've seen awesome quarterback. They've seen good quarterbacks, but not awesome ones. Kyler Murray toyed with them to a great degree, at least on the run, on the ground last night. So, yeah, it's Dallas. That defense is awful. And I thought Andy Dalton would be better than he was, and I'm not giving up on his year yet, but boy, that was an inauspicious start for Dalton, who would have been a guy to say, hey, go pivot to Dalton. He's got an easy game with Washington. But I don't know. That I'm a little bit rattled after last night.
And we were joking last week about not expecting to have the Chase Claypool versus Travis Fulham show. This week in Who the Hell Are You, Tim Patrick takes center stage for Vic Fangio and the Broncos. Who is he and what does he do?
He is a starting wide receiver for an otherwise relatively forgettable Denver offense. But you know, he's been really good every down, wide out. He took the starting spot I'm forgetting the name of their starter that went down with
Cortland
the ACL
Sutton?
In week one. Thank you, Cortland Sutton. Thank you very much. Out of sight, out of mind. And Drew Lock is back under center. Now, Drew Lock did not look awesome last week, but what I love about Drew Lock is he's a little bit like Fitzpatrick. He's just got sort of a chuck it and hope it works out attitude, and I like that especially for fantasy purposes. And Tim Patrick's been good, and so he's a guy in a pinch you could pick up off the waiver wire this week.
What do you think it means for the Falcons to win in the way that they did and Raheem Morris taking over, getting a second chance? Some people are looking at this as an opportunity for him to resurrect his coaching career on a big stage. And running back, it looks like Jerick McKinnon and Jeff Wilson become playable.
Yeah, McKinnon and Wilson, I think, do become playable now. You know, Raheem Mostert was great And it's just a high ankle sprain. We know what a high ankle sprain means. Look at Christian McCaffrey, out for now. I think this will be heading into his fifth week. Michael Thomas ended up missing 5 weeks.
It was my fault.
McKinnon and Wilson are going to get
Raheem Morris in the notes with Raheem Mostert. That's my mistake. Oh. Thank you for correcting.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, and that's my fault. But to get to the Falcons and my pathetic Vikings. Ah, Dan. it's not easy being in Minnesota right now. Let me tell you, it's my football team nearly beat two playoff teams. They nearly beat the Titans. They nearly beat Seattle. They found ways to lose that game. And here comes a winless Falcons team. And the gutless Vikings rolled over and died. It was sick. And if that's not bad enough, look at this. I don't know if you can see out there. That's snow. We have accumulating snow, Dan, in Minnesota. That's the epitome. It's the middle of October, and I've got accumulating snow. It's all bad right now.
You do live in Minnesota, you realize. I mean, you're not in Louisiana, so it's not exactly a story.
Well, I appreciate. I get that. This is what I've signed up for. But even by our standards, this is early. Come on, you get it. Nobody wants to start your 6 months of winter 2 weeks earlier, 3 weeks earlier than you have to. That is not cool. As for the Falcons, by the way, I mean, we had just talked, Matt Ryan had been horrible coming into this game. Vikings made him look great again. Julio Jones looked like his old self. I think you can safely restart those guys from that passing game and maybe that whole offense. I want to believe the Vikings aren't the only team that's going to make them look good. I'd like to think Matt Ryan's going to come back and be the player that he traditionally was.
As you break down the quality of the Bears defense and its effect on matchups, how good is it getting as far as dissuading you from playing anybody going up against them?
Oh, big time. You know, we're showing a lot of caution against, particularly against the pass. So Jared Goff looked bad last week. And, you know, with Goff, Dan, you watch him play, the kid just doesn't have any fire. He's so antiseptic, a little bit like Kirk Cousins. You don't get the sense that when things go badly, he's going to be a guy that you just rally around. And I don't have any faith that he bounces back in a tough matchup here. So no opposing quarterback has thrown more than one touchdown against Chicago. Your squad's given up 3 passing touchdowns all year. Robert Woods, who's pivotal to this offense, is going to see Kyle Fuller, who's giving up 28 yards per game in his coverage. That's it. Now, I've been tough on Buster Screen for years. He hasn't given up a touchdown this year. Cooper Kupp, the other main cog in that passing offense, is going to get Buster Screen. If Screen can continue to just be serviceable, which is where I think he is, that's it. I'm out on that whole passing attack. I'm off of Jared Goff this week. He's probably going to clock in. I haven't finalized my rankings yet. He'll probably clock in around quarterback 22, I would guess, in a bye week with only 28 quarterbacks.
Is there another waiver wire quarterback value in here? Because I'm also starting to look at the number of names of players coming off of injured reserve who are returning this year with everybody allowed to return. And just off the top of my head, Leighton Vander Esch came back. John Jenkins came back. Who are some skill position players now who might be returning from injury and have some value?
Well, I mean, Michael Thomas, the leading guy coming off injury. We're certainly going to watch him and what he's able to do when he comes back. But a sneakier move, Mark Ingram injured his ankle and got knocked out of last week's game. Now, we don't know the severity of the ankle injury because they're on bye week this week, so they're not obliged to tell us anything about how bad this ankle injury is with Mark Ingram. The best running back Baltimore has had this year, Gus Edwards. Nobody saw coming. They drafted J.K. Dobbins, who's been okay, but not spectacular. Gus Edwards scored a touchdown last week with Mark Ingram out. And if this situation with Ingram's ankle is significant, coming out of this week's bye, Gus Edwards could end up being a guy that ends up helping out.
Lastly, the tight end position. Anybody that is largely available?
Yeah, you know, it looks like Jonnu Smith, who's been a goldmine for fantasy owners, is going to miss this week. He got knocked out of last week's game early. And tragically for his Jonnu Smith owners, his backup, Anthony Firkster, goes on this crazy run, has 100 yards and a touchdown. And, you know, that all would have probably gone to Jonnu Smith. He's going to miss this one game. You can probably pick up Anthony Firkster as a one-week plug-in. And tough matchup with the Steelers, but there's not like there's a ton of depth at tight end. So he might be somebody you could look at.
And before we let you go, how alarming was the Packers' offensive performance? Wow. And you know, watching it, and the fantasy perspective may be different than the actual football perspective, but the latter was kind of scary if you confront what that could mean as a playbook for other defenses against them.
Yeah, it all fell apart in a dramatic fashion for the Packers. So the question that I think Viking fans like me, Bears fans like your listeners have been asking themselves is, well, okay, Aaron Rodgers had been great and they played really, really well, but the schedule could not have been easier at the outset. So they get their first real opponent and the team goes completely belly up. But the catch here is Green Bay next gets Houston. I don't trust them to challenge much. And then they get the Vikings, and they already steamrolled the Vikings once already. So I as much as, you know, the homer in me would like to say that I think there's going to be continued struggle here, more than likely this team bounces back at least for the next 2 weeks.
Does Mike Zimmer keep his job?
Well, they just signed him to a 3-year extension. So I believe he does keep his job, and I think they're just going to grit their teeth and get through this season and reevaluate after that. But believe me, up here, there is widespread dissatisfaction with Zimmer, our GM, Rick Spielman, and especially our quarterback, Kirk Cousins. The vitriol for Kirk. He should be, if he goes to Chick-fil-A, he should show up with an armed guard, because I don't trust that somebody wouldn't go jam a chicken sandwich in his eyeball.
The deadly chicken sandwich. You also have some of the names that you've been tweeting out that are available now in guillotine leagues. It's almost comical right now just how the high quality roster acquisitions that are available with teams getting whacked.
Yeah, including mine. I'm in five leagues. I got whacked for the first time last night. And it's hard. And here's the team that I am now making available to the rest of my league. I've got Tom Brady. I've got Kareem Hunt, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Chris Carson, John Brown, Devontae Parker, Jonnu Smith as my sort of core guys. All of them hit the waiver wire because that's how it works in a guillotine league. If you are the low scoring team, you get cut. And now the team, here we are at midseason, the teams that are left are good teams. So it's a plethora of great players. And as a side note, I'll mention for two more weeks, we're still forming new guillotine leagues at guillotineleagues.com. So if you want to join in the fun, you still can.
And a plethora of piñatas as well. Paul Charchian, thank you as always for your time. Look forward to hearing you on Thursday and talking next week.
Thanks, Dan. Bye-bye.
That is Paul Charchian, who always makes sure that you have the best information at hand to be ready for your fantasy weekend. If you missed it earlier in the show, Mike Doc Emrick joined us to talk about his retirement and the book that he has coming out. And I want you to hear something that I wanted to ask specifically about his relationship with you, the Blackhawks fan, and what it's meant and why it feels kind of abrupt for us, because he's really been a part of the lives of Blackhawks fans only for, you know, like 10 years or so. We haven't been privy to the entire half century of some of the stuff that he's been doing. It's like all of a sudden here he is. He's a big part of our hockey lives. And then off he goes. So you'll hear from Doc Emrick next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
They've waited a long time for this to be at home. Slipped in front and Crawford another block. Five to go. For the third time in 6 years, the Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions.
The episodes in life that last so many years in memory are measured in fleeting moments as they happen. Joel Quenneville celebrates with his team.
And as we learned, that was an important call on NBC to the man who made it, Mike Doc Emrick. This segment brought to you by Burlington. Have you been to Burlington? They have incredible deals and amazing styles at up to 60% off other retailers' prices, and no coupons needed. It's your one-stop shop for fall. Go to burlington.com to find your store. Burlington, love the deals. And always a pleasure to talk to one of the all-time greats on the occasion of his retirement and the release of his book, telling the story of his broadcasting career. And it feels different for Blackhawks fans because we haven't really known him that long. You, the Blackhawks fan, this relationship started when? In 2009? And then you have this spectacular and special run, and you have your Blackhawks voice sitting alongside, making it feel that much more accessible and that much more familiar. And then as if commensurate with the Blackhawks ceding the national stage to other teams in this phase of their in between, whatever you want to call it, a rebuild or not. And now he's done, and it'll be Kenny Albert or whomever the next voice is whenever the Blackhawks become relevant on that spring and summer stage once again. If in fact it is in spring and summer with everything all reimagined. And I asked him about his relationship with the Blackhawks and with Blackhawks fans.
It's a city that I just love visiting, and some of my best memories are going to be of having been there. And I think most particularly, and we did talk about this one other time, Dan, about being in Chicago on that dark and stormy night and with tornadoes actually touching down in the area and the Stanley Cup being delayed and getting down to United Center. And finally, the Blackhawks were going to win it, not like in 1961 in Detroit, and not like in 2010 in Philadelphia, not like in 2013 in Boston. They were going to win it at home. And so that's why that excerpt that you played had a lot of crowd in it, because the crowd was cheering wildly, and hopefully I wasn't talking so much that the crowd could be heard. And the fact that the cup arrived a little bit late and the Blackhawks celebrated a lot more than most teams did without the cup before it did arrive was attributed to lots of chaos going on in the city and trying to get it down there from its position north of the city to arrive during the third period when it dramatically normally does. I have greatly appreciated so many of the Blackhawks fans who have greeted me so kindly during this time. And I'm sorry that the team is not what it was in those six seasons that had three championships. But hockey, just like the other sports, is on a cycle. And so the cycle does not always have you at the top. It has you rebuilding to get back there.
It was a wonderful opportunity to get the chance to have that conversation with Doc Emmerich. If you want to listen to the full interview, you can do that via the radio.com rewind feature or at 670thescore.com via a podcast. I think it will be worth your time. Transition coming your way straight ahead with Lawrence Holmes. So don't go anywhere. You have the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.